Hi. Hey, everyone. Penina had an orthodontist appointment that usually takes 10 minutes, and it took 45 minutes. So I'm so happy to be here. I literally sat in my chair at 3 o'clock on the dot Eastern. So happy and relieved. So good to see everyone. I'll give us all another minute before we get started. I'm so glad you're here, Kara. We'll wait a few more moments and we'll get started. I know it's like so close to the holidays and lots of things going on, but wait another moment. Hopefully some more of us will join. Right. Well, I am so happy and so excited to be here. I'm so glad all of you are here. I've been looking forward to this call since Kara and I first spoke about it. You all know every now and again, I bring on a guest speaker to speak to the Sacred Depths community and to teach us. I always am looking for topics that really complement what we do in Sacred Depths, and also support you, whether it's around your practice or around your business. And the work that we're going to do today and the work that Kara is going to present to you today is like it fits perfectly with this and everything that we look at in Sacred Depths. Just so you know, Kara is a graduate of Sacred Depths and Advanced Depth and Into the Depth. Like she knows our language, she is part of our community. And what I love about Kara is that she is really one of the lights in the industry when it comes to taking a stand for authentic, in integrity, marketing, and visibility, which is so much what we're about in Sacred Depths when it comes to being a practitioner, as well as when it comes to being an entrepreneur. And Kara has this just magical talent. She's got her Sacred Depths, Advanced Depths, Into the Depths toolbox, plus so many other things, plus her natural talent of just bringing together the practical when it comes to visibility, especially for entrepreneurs who are maybe prone to not want to always make themselves visible for various reasons. But she's got that beautiful combination of the strategy and the inner work, and it comes together so magically. So much so that at least two of my team members, if not more, who have met Kara through just being in this community, have worked with her and taken her programs. And so I just feel like we're really lucky to have her share with us about visibility today and what we can do to be more visible, and authentic and in integrity all at the same time. I have my notebook open to a fresh page. I know I'm going to take a lot of notes. I want to read Kara's official bio because it's really impressive. I mean, before she even sent it to me, I'm already so impressed with her, but it's really just so impressive. So I'm going to read it. Kara Jones is a former Emmy Award winning journalist, writer, filmmaker, and visibility coach. Her signature online programs have propelled audiences worldwide out of hiding and onto stages, podcasts, social media platforms, and to family kitchen tables to share the magnetic truth of who they are. Kara's work is inspired by the 7-year journey of telling her story through the documentary Blessed Child, which premiered at DOC NYC 2019. She now helps entrepreneurs all over the globe uncover and share room-shaking personal stories and discover within them a blueprint to exponentially grow their visibility, income, and impact. Kara is also the founder of the film production company Storytellers for Good. She's also a Moth Story Slam winner. I aspire to that. And her writing has been featured in the Washington Post, HuffPo, and Boston Globe. Kara, I'm so happy you're here with us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Joanna. It's so wonderful to be with all of you and your dogs. Alta, I love that dog of yours. So affectionate. Joanna, when I hear your voice, I just like settle in and I'm like, oh, I'm going to learn something from Joanna. And then it's like, wait, I'm the one showing up today. But you have been such an incredible mentor to me who has not just helped me become such a more powerful coach and be influenced by your style and all of that I've learned through pretty much every program that you've ever offered, I think I've taken. But just on a soul level, I have transformed in your containers and am forever, forever grateful to you. And so happy to see other faces that are benefiting from your work. So I'm going to start our journey today with a story. I have a few stories for you. And it's from 2020. At the time when we were all just very used to being on Zoom, was taking a training in the realm of breath work and meditation. And the teacher, this was like day two, and he was just saying, like, go take a break whenever you need to. I'm just going to keep going. And I didn't want to miss a thing. And so there was a certain point in the morning when I took my laptop with me and I went and checked in on my daughter and got a snack and went to the bathroom and put my computer right up in front of the toilet so I wouldn't miss a thing and did my business and moved my way back to my desk and got ready to re-engage and put my camera back on. And I looked down and you know that little like red dot, red line that's over the camera? Well, it was over the mic, but it was not over the camera. And so I had just taken 40 people with me to the bathroom. And when I realized this, I felt this huge wave of heat raced through my body. My hands started shaking and my heart was racing and I really felt like I was going to die. I feel all of you in the moment with me right now. Thank you. And I sat there, I turned my video off for real. And I sat there with my head in my hands, like, how can I possibly go back to this group? Having shown what I just shown. Luckily, I was in this meditation workshop, so I found my feet and I felt my legs and my arms. And I returned to the session. What happened to me that day is what's been happening to me for much of my professional life as I continue to answer my soul's call to be seen. While I have never intentionally been naked before that, in various ways, in excavating my story and spending 7 years making a film about growing up in a wild religion cult where I had an arranged marriage, and making a film about that journey that my parents are still in the group. So it was a process that also made me feel like I was going to die to be seen in. Every time I think I've like, okay, now I've told the truth, the universe takes me by the hand and says, no, there's more truth to reveal. And every time I end up with that same feeling of being exposed. And coming to see and witnessed the programming of my nervous system and trying to keep me safe, right? That hot flash, that heartbeat, the shaky hands. That's my nervous system speaking, saying, you're not safe. I'm here to protect you. And for so many of us, through childhood experience, through life experience, in all different ways, our nervous systems have come to couple visibility with threat. And so our work here is through small, bold action of allowing ourselves to be seen, to start to rewire, as Joanna uses the term, to teach our nervous system to find safety in being seen, even when it doesn't feel safe. It still didn't feel safe that day for me. It's not the way I wanted to be seen. Sometimes we're gonna be seen in the world in ways we don't wanna be seen. And yet, through small, bold action, through awareness, we can start to find relaxation in our body, in being witnessed. And the more relaxed we are, the more relaxed we can teach our body to be, the more can move through us. So let's take a moment to, in 1 minute, settle our nervous systems. I'm sure you're all well aware of nervous system supporting practices, but let's close our eyes together and just feel our feet. And if you feel more comfortable keeping your eyes just gently open, you can do that. But feel your feet, that feeling of your feet making contact with the earth. Feel your legs, your seat, your butt in the chair, if it's there. Take a big full breath. And just thank yourself for being here on this busy Thursday. And take another inhale and allow your spine to grow a little bit taller. And as you exhale, let your shoulders relax. Whatever you're carrying, just let it go. And as you take another breath, relax that space between the eyebrows where we can often hold tension, relaxing the jaw. And put your hand on your heart. And ask yourself a question that I'm going to ask you to soon take into your writing, which is, why am I being called to use my voice right now? Your heart knows, your heart brought you here. And take one more breath. And when you're ready, open your eyes I'm going to put that question in the chat for you. And I'm going to ask you to write it at the top of your page. And I'm going to give you 3 minutes, maybe four, to just free write and to answer to yourself from your wisest self. So why am I being called to use my voice right now? Use the language you are being called, and just let your pen move across the page. Just let the words come. Don't edit and don't stop writing for these few minutes. And just see what comes. As you're bringing your writing to a close, take a moment to look at what you wrote and circle anything that feels especially important or surprised you. You know, you've done a good job bypassing the thinking mind and getting to the wisdom of your heart when something you've written surprises you. So I'm going to name this as a confidential space, although I'm not going to be asking you to share too many confidential things. I'm going to name this as a imperfect space, mostly for myself, where I get to be imperfect, and also a brave space where we're all invited to take small, bold action. So I would love to see if there are a few brave volunteers that would be willing to just share the circled part, something that felt really important or surprising that came through your writing. Any volunteers? You can just unmute yourself. Yes, Alta.
Sorry, I'm like, where is the hand? What surprised me was to share the wisdom of the ancestors and remind the world of who they are.
The wisdom of the ancestors and to remind the world of who they are. That feels like pure gold. Thank you, Alta. Thank you. Angie.
You are being called to use your voice right now because you have access to a community that has never had this message infused in it, that they are all worthy of love and light and all good things just by nature of who they are. And they chose to come to Earth Plane to exist and live. And they have been otherized forever. And you are here to show them that they matter.
From otherized to mattering. That's so beautiful. Thank you, Angie. Michelle.
Hi. Usually when I do exercises like this, it's focused on, you know, because there's service, because there's need, because I can help. And that is all true. And that came here. But what was surprising, and really was surprising, was because this is my Dharma, and because this is what I feel like there's nothing else. Like if I didn't do this, I would still do it. I would just do it for free because there's just nothing else that I am here to do. So that felt surprising and so clear and so true and so wonderful. Mm.
There's nothing else I'm here to do, right? Such powerful words. Thank you, Michelle. Rye.
Hi, and it's Ray, and I'm so happy to be here with you, Kara. beyond the, what came for me was beyond the reasons that are about my contribution to humanity and to the world and the people I serve, is that even more important than that, that it's a burden to hide and be afraid to be seen and to express myself. And that that's more important than the reasons that I do it because of my work. I no longer want to have that burden on me. I want to be fully self-expressed for me, just for me.
Wow, Ray, thank you. Just for me, my own freedom. It's a burden to hide. We're going to talk about that a lot today. Thank you. Carla, and then Lisa, and we'll move from there. Carla, are you there?
I pulled a mute. Don't listen to me. Hang on. Now, shoot. All right. Starting over. You are being called to use your voice now because when you channel through your voice, that's when you remember the passion for the work and the pleasure. So that surprised me.
Mm. When you channel, you remember your passion and pleasure. Channel on. Thank you. Lisa.
The heart of the world calls you forth to kindle the heart fire of those who are longing for connection with both their hearts and the heart of Mother Earth.
Oof. I feel that. Lissa, thank you. The heart of the world. It's a big call. Thank you for giving voice to it. Thank all of you for giving voice to these precious invitations. Okay, I have another story for you. This is not one of mine. It's a mythic story I learned from a man named Michael Mead. And it's a story that comes from India from ages and ages ago. And you know, stories that stick around this long have universal human truths in them. It's a story about a tiger that was roaming the world at a time when things were tough. There was little access to food, even water. And this tiger was desperate. It was especially desperate because it had a little baby tiger in its belly. And it roamed and it roamed, and its desperation grew and grew, and it felt like it might be coming to the end of its life. And then at one point, the tiger came across this mountain pass and looked just below and saw a village of goats. And this tiger, using its last bit of life force, leapt towards the goats. And when it landed with no life force left in it, perished. But somehow, I don't know exactly how this happened, somehow the baby in the tiger's belly survived and was born. And the goats circled around this baby, wondering what to do with the tiger. And the mother goats did what mother goats do, and they started to raise this young one. And they taught it the ways of the goats, how to sound like a goat, how to act like a goat, how to be a goat. To the extent that the tiger just thought it was a goat. Until one day, it looked up and it saw another tiger looking down at it. And this tiger had never seen anything like it, but it looked back with this knowing of itself somehow. It couldn't turn away. And this tiger that was up on the mountain saw this baby tiger and came down, this young tiger, and came down and took it by the nape of its neck and brought it to a body of water. Maybe the Lion King was inspired by this scene, and asked and showed the tiger itself. The work that I am going to introduce you to today is about reminding you that you are a tiger and not a goat. Is reminding you the essence of the powerful, magnificent, truth-telling, wise, ever-creative, badass human that you are. And that there's nothing wrong with goats, and it's not the goat's fault, but that's not who you are. So I want to share a short visual with you. Joanna, am I a co-host?
You are. You should be able to share.
Beautiful. I am not always smooth at this, but I think this should come through. So the work we're going to explore today, can you all see that? Is rooted in this diagram that I invented. And it's rooted in the four stress responses, nervous system stress responses of fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And how I see these showing up in the world of visibility and marketing. So just so you know, I'm going to give you a short summary here, but this is actually the nature of the work we're going to be doing. So don't worry about like getting it all down. Feel free to take a screenshot if you'd like. I'm just going to explain this and then talk about how we're going to do our work today. So the fawn response is that of the good one, the pleaser response, that under the stress of having to be seen, doesn't want to be seen, wants to be good, wants to be liked, and is afraid to get things wrong. There's also the freeze response, which is expressed in the imposter. The imposter that feels like, I don't know what to say. Other people know better. There is the flight response that I see expressed through the perfectionist, which gets really, really busy trying to make things perfect so that we don't have to be vulnerable and be seen in our vulnerability. There's the judge that is the fight response that tries to make the whole world wrong so we don't have to be seen, or takes that fight energy and puts it back on ourselves, brutalizing ourselves with criticism that comes from all these parts, but especially from this judge. So what you see at the center of the circle here is the goat self. It is not our fault that we have been conditioned this way, socialized this way, and it's not who we are. Carl Jung says the genius hides behind the wound. And what I see is that each of these stress responses, hiding types, each of these ways that we hide, has buried underneath it a unique gift. And that each of these gifts has like a pool of energy that has been pent up inside of us. And when they start coming out, watch out. They hold the key to our unique magnetism in the world. So on the other, buried underneath the good one is the truth teller. We'll have a short bit of a prompt to get you in touch with the truth teller. Buried underneath the imposter is the mystic, the ever wise knowing one. Buried underneath the perfectionist is the creator who can get messy and just put things out in the world and not take it all so seriously. And underneath the judge who judges all the world for all the things and other people for all the things that are wrong with them is the badass who can take those parts of ourselves that we've been learned, that we've been taught to be ashamed about, and start to discover them as some of our greatest gifts that we're here to lead with. So I'm going to take you on an adventure through that matrix. And instead of a matrix that keeps you stuck and held back, my hope is that you're going to leave in an hour feeling more free, feeling more tiger-like. Sound good? So let's talk about these four stress responses. And what I want to do here is help you create awareness about how these might be showing up specifically in your life and marketing visibility. And I just want to say again and again and again that this is not our fault, and this is not here to make us feel bad about ourselves. And what I'm doing in sharing these four elements is telling you my story. I am telling you my story of my own struggle with them in hopes that you might find your own version of struggle with these types and be able to see it more clearly so that we can get more free. So we're going to start with the good one. And I'm going to share with you just a little bit about the ways of the good one, and then specifically how this might be showing up in your visibility and marketing. So I am the good one. I'm going to give it a little voice. So just notice as I'm speaking and feel free to jot down like what words feel like, oh, that's me, or that's how my good one sounds too. And you'll also be given space to consider ways that this good one might show up for you that I didn't list. So I am the good one, and I am going to make you likable, whether you like it or not. I need you to be silent, polite, selfless, because selfish is bad and speaking up is dangerous. I need you to smile even when you're sad or angry or afraid. I need you to keep your mouth shut, do your good work, be the good student, the good partner, good parent, good friend. Don't tell the truth, stay inside the lines. Don't cause trouble. Don't need or ask for anything. They might not love you anymore. How the good one might be showing up for you in your work is, you know that you have the depth of truth to share, but too often stay quiet. If you share anything at all online, you might be much more prone to sharing pictures of your pet or your kid or nature versus you. Not that sharing those things is wrong, just a way that we can hide. When it comes to marketing, you might find yourself averse to testimonials, pictures of yourself, highlighting your wisdom, experience, because it feels like showing off and bragging. If you're writing at all, it often comes through as generic cookie cutter, kind of putting you to sleep, and starts to sound like everyone else. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I would love to see in the chat how many of you relate. So 1 being the least, or 0 being the least, and 10 being the most. How much do you relate to the ways of the good one? The whole range of experience is welcome here. Some high, overall high numbers. Again, I couldn't know these things if I haven't found myself doing these things. And take a moment as well to share, especially for those of you with high numbers, like what of what I spoke felt especially, where did you feel especially seen? And what habits, the generic posts, dangerous to speak up, likable, smile despite whatever's happening, don't need to ask for anything. They might not love you anymore. Generic posts, not asking, social media habits, likable whether you like it or not, having the truth but staying quiet. On my personal page, I am a 6 good one. On my business page, spaces 2 to 1. Really interesting to notice that, right? What happens in certain spaces versus others. And sometimes there's wisdom in, I don't post everything for my in-laws to see that I show on Instagram. Because I know that I'm just gonna rein it in too much. Only sharing what's safe. Not sharing testimonials. Okay, so this is like a little bit of a rapid fire taking you through these things. And I know that some of this can be like, oh, I do that and I do that and I do that. And again, we're just creating awareness here because we wanna use this awareness to fuel our truth charged writing that we're gonna do after this. Don't cause trouble, be polite, social media and my own writing bores myself. No pics, no depth. Thank you so much for all that you have been sharing. So powerful. Okay, the imposter. Little imposter voice here. I am your imposter. And I'm afraid you just don't know what you're doing. others always know better than you. You've never stacked up and you never will. You're not that special. That one time when you did that one thing well, that was pure luck. You just don't have that X factor. You're not that smart or wise or deep. You've always been ordinary and always will be. You might as well not even try, because if you do, people start seeing you, they're going to see you as a fraud. So again, taking note of what words or phrases feel resonant with you and a voice that you may have heard before. This voice that is truly just trying to protect us. We don't want to hate on it, but it has a lot to say. So in the world of visibility and marketing, here's how the imposter likes to play. You are much more likely to quote other people versus sharing your own wisdom. You collect endless stacks of other people's books and ideas. What does your bookshelf look like right now? In saying all this, I don't want to knock a healthy sense of curiosity and love of learning, because that's all mixed in here. Nothing wrong with that. And yet oftentimes we use it to hide. You spend your writing and creative time scrolling through other people's content on social media and comparing yourself to them. You want to create something of your own, but feel you need more intelligence, more training, fill in the blank before you can do that. And you can be a busybody, sometimes having 10 or more side projects going on at all times, and each of which are rewarding, but not quite the thing your heart and soul most wants to be doing. Sometimes the imposter gets us all distracted with other things, because at the core, we don't believe we can actually write that book, do that project that we've always longed to do. So once more, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you relate to the ways of the imposter? Love. 5 used to be more like 9. It's awesome to see shifts and changes. A whole range of numbers here. Difference between inner and outer circle. Yes. So once more, would love to hear what words or examples felt especially resonant, where you felt especially seen. 6 projects going on, none of them my true heart's desire. Always feeling not good enough. Others do better than you. You were just lucky that one time. The endless books. Always need more education. You aren't that special, ordinary, not good enough. Quoting others instead of myself. One of my favorite prompts that I won't be able to share with, or we won't do today, but it's like, it's the riff. It's getting in the practice of every time you want to share someone's quote, what does this inspire me and how could I say it without even using any of the same words in my own experience through a story of my own? Building that muscle of remembering what we know. Anyway, I'm getting into the second half of our journey, so I won't do that. But for those of you that are like, your feed is full of other people's quotes, start challenging yourself. Like, what do I know about this? Thank you for these beautifully honest shares. And busyness is a big theme. It's really hard to connect to what we know when we're busy. And so much of a voice is just about creating space for a voice. When a voice has space, it's there. Okay. Hello, perfectionist. I am your perfectionist, and I want you to know it will never be good enough. This is painful because you're not good enough. You need to prepare, polish, perform. I don't care if you need to stay up all night. I don't care if you're totally exhausted. The image we've created takes work, and we have to keep it up. I want perfect words, perfect looks, perfect images, presentations, and you need a manager for all this. So I'm here for you. You can't make mistakes or people are going to think you're stupid and don't have what it takes. So the manifestation of the perfectionist in our visibility is we have endless project ideas in our head or writing ideas that sound really good in our head, but our perfectionist says like they're not coming out right. They're not coming out right on paper. And so we end up with like a pile that could fill our bedrooms of half-started expressions, Google Docs filled and phone notes filled with writings that people never get to see. You convince yourself, we convince ourselves that we're just doing our best. But some part of us is overcomplicating, overpolishing, so we don't have to release it and face being seen. When it comes to marketing, we have so many ideas that we get overwhelmed by them and have a hard time just putting one thing out at a time. So it all just feels overwhelming. And so that result is like this kink in the hose, like this overwhelming amount of content, but nothing's getting out. And we walk around with the weight of that. All of these patterns are like, they're all kind of similar. They're part of the same family, but they have their own unique flavor. You might be seeing that. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you relate to the perfectionist? And what are the perfectionist habits or words that you felt seen in? 12 or higher. 3 to the voice and 10 to the actions. No way will I be ready to post my curriculum. Sounds like a curriculum lab student right there. Endless ideas. So much content unpublished. The fear disguised as doing our best. The over polishing. I have a challenge that was inspired by a mentor of mine in my work called Hashtag shitty is sacred. Shitty is sacred because it allows things to move out of us. Small, bold actions. We unwind and cure, if that's possible, to the extent we can, the perfectionist, by letting small, bold actions of imperfection, just letting it be shitty. Putting it out. Thank you for these beautifully honest shares. And for loving shitty is sacred and saying it will never work for me at the same time. The Google Docs and phone notes, the stacks of writings. Thank you. Thank you for these bold, small, bold actions of your honesty. All right, I'm gonna move to one more and then we're gonna go to a happier zone, okay? So just to review, the good one is related to that pleaser, the fawn response, the imposter to the freeze, I don't know what to say. Other people know better. The perfectionist to flight, busy, 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 polishing, polishing. The judge to fight. Being right and good is the way to stay safe. And I'm going to protect you by making everyone else wrong. Social media is wrong. The way everyone else is doing it is wrong, wrong, wrong. I'm going to help you put all your energy into rejecting others and yourself so you don't have to be rejected. So you'll be left with all this judgment with very little energy or time left to figure out what you have to say. It's funny, as I've been teaching these patterns for years now, and until this year, I skipped this one. I only talked about the first three. And I think it was because of my own ambivalent relationship with fight energy and anger energy. And yes, Sarah, you're asking this question about the combination. We're combinations of all of them, and there's some that you might not relate to at all. And this could be one of them. So the judge spends excessive mental energy criticizing others for being too big, too wrong, too bold, too sexy, doing things the wrong way. The judge has a strong sense of justice and really doesn't want to share anything that could possibly hurt anyone or be wrong or result in being canceled. So you share very little, if anything at all. Sometimes the judge takes their angst for the world out in the comment section of articles and social media posts. And if you don't take it out on others, you can, I'm not a judge in that way. My fight energy comes towards myself. And being brutally self-critical. I mean, all of these types have an element of self-criticism, but the judge just is excessive in making us feel shamed and wronged. Never, never good enough. It was the theme for all of them. But it's like, no, you can't do that. That's too much. That's too cheesy. That's unevolved. That's unoriginal. Just like judge, 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 judge. So on a scale of 1 to 10, Joanna wisely inputting here, if you don't relate to any at all, it may be in shadow. Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you relate to the judge? Let's see. Judging others, 1 to 2, judging self, 8 to 10. I am that way too. Thank you for all of your honesty. And as Alta is modeling here, what are the specific words or patterns, habits, not wanting to possibly hurt someone or make me wrong? Turn it back on myself, because how could I be awful to others? A lot of inner directed judges, reject so I won't be rejected, share little for fear of being wrong, afraid of being judged, attacked. I know this is a lot. Let's just like take a moment to shake it out in our bodies. So, before we move on to some writing prompts to evoke your tiger self, what patterns, and this is just for you, you don't have to put it in the chat, What patterns do you most want to call out, bring awareness to, lovingly bring loving awareness to in yourself as it relates to the ways that you might be hiding? All of you have such, I just feel it in this container and in just the brief shares, like the power of the work that each of you has to offer in the world. How are you hiding? How are you hiding yourself and that work? And this is a question. So take a moment to do that, and then I'll ask one more question.
Can you say the question one more time, please?
Based on everything that we've reviewed, where do you see that you're most hiding? In what ways are you most hiding? If you were to identify 2 to 3 of all the things that we've explored, like, so some are sharing here, the perfectionist and the imposter. You can name the type or the habit, 2 to 3 types or habits where you're like, that's really up for me right now. That's really holding me back right now. Thank you, Joanna. My pattern is especially sneaky. My perfectionist stays busy creating so much of my programs that she gets to not have time to write the book I want to write that will ripple through the world and impact so many others. Thank you, Angie, for naming the good one. How it shows up in personal relationships. So this is a question that I learned from Joanna that I love to ask, and some of you are already sharing. It's like, what is the cost of this hiding in my life and work? Take a moment to think about, you know, the book that hasn't yet been written, that's been wanting to be written for many years, the clients that haven't been able to benefit from your work because they haven't yet heard you. They may have heard someone else, but not yet you. What is the cost? What if our niche is just you? What if we don't have to know exactly who they are before we start revealing ourselves? What if by revealing ourselves, we start to call in our people versus spending years trying to figure out who they are? my own journey anyway. The cost of financial freedom. The cost is self-expression. And sparking others to do the same. My energy goes down. I have had panic attacks from holding my truth back. I've woken up in the middle of the night with choking feelings. Exhaustion, disease. Hiding is expensive. TMJ. Thank you all for naming this. Thank you all for bravely going into this difficult territory and let's just take a moment to honor our protectors for taking us this far and let them know, thank you. We don't need you so much anymore. We don't need you so much. We really don't need you at all, but let's start with baby steps. So, as I shared, I believe that each of these hiding patterns kind of holds back a part of ourselves, an innate tiger part of ourselves. And when we create enough awareness and we get to this threshold moment of like, is it okay if I swear in here, Joanne? Like, fuck, I'm not doing this anymore. What, like, part of this for last 30 minutes is just about getting you pissed off. Like, damn it. When we get to that moment, we can unlock the other gift on the other side. The truth teller, mystic, creator, badass. So I learned this from Joanna too. In marketing, people are asking three questions. Can they help me? Do we share the same values? And do I resonate with them? For me, it's not always about liking them. There's people that I really resonate with that I don't like, that I'll follow and learn from, but I don't really like them, but there's something about them that resonates with me, right? So in this next part of our work, I'm gonna be sharing some prompts to help you with these three categories of content. And oftentimes we limit ourselves to like, well, I have to be providing value for my clients all the time. And I have to stick to, you know, sounding like a coach and giving my three tactics, and that stuff matters. And what also matters is who you are as a person and what you stand for. So let's visit the land of the truth teller, which is just buried underneath the good one. The truth teller is the one. I mean, I live with one. She's 6 years old. and I, with all these qualities, like, I know what it looks like because I live with it. Before, it was learned to be another way, and it's beautiful. The truth teller is the one who speaks truth that others have suppressed. Truth that is more powerful than any marketing formula, that is not afraid to speak into what pisses you off, and not afraid to speak into truth that might make some people cringe, but and repel some people, but have a way of attracting the people that you're most meant to be in relationship with. So they're not afraid to polarize as much as they are here to attract. So one of my favorite ways to get the truth teller warmed up you all have been practicing truth, the truth teller already, is an exercise I call 10 true things. 10 true things. So I learned this from a acting class that I did once, and our first class, the facilitator was like, okay, tell the class 10 true things that make you cringe or want to throw up a little bit that you would otherwise not say out loud. And I love this exercise because so often when we start writing in our coach language, we just start using coach words and we distance, we get farther and farther from like the truth. Like, what is the truth, right? So I invite you to have fun with this, and I'm gonna give you about 3 or 4 minutes just to like, don't edit based on anything. Like, it's life, it's work, whatever's true that like kind of makes you cringe that you wouldn't usually say out loud. So here's a few examples to just get your wheels turning. Yesterday, I volunteered to teach at my daughter's yoga class, or at my daughter's school, a little yoga class. And on this, before we started the class, these girls were like building this fairy house, and one of the girls kept like smashing it. And she did it a few times. And at one point, my daughter went over to the girl, like deliberately walked over and gently punched this girl. I mean, it was a gentle punch, but it was still a punch. And I was totally mortified. And like, I felt like all the other parents were looking at me, but part of me was a little bit proud. Part of me was a little bit proud that like she stopped the bully in a way that nobody else was willing to do. So that's my cringy truth. Another truth is that the holidays are this time of year when like all the busyness and all the expectations to be with family and like being with family make me feel like a caged animal. Just gonna say that. Yesterday I finished an 8-week course called The Naked Truth that felt like a holy download from the universe. And I was so like, okay, universe, this was like my next act, like literally feeling naked in front of the world to start a course called The Naked Truth. And one person signed up for the first 48 hours. And I felt like I was gonna die and I wanted to cancel it. And I'm like, no, it was wrong. And yesterday I sat there in the last of the 8 classes and listened to all these breakthroughs and transformations that had happened with these 20 people. And I said, thank you to the universe and to myself for trusting myself. So that was like a whole wild range of truth. Like, just let yourself go wild for 3 minutes. Don't think about whether it's relevant to your business. Just write 10 true things, 10 true things. some of you, these truths might just flow out. Angela, sounds like you're living your truth. Some of it might be a little clunkier. And take a look at what you've written, even if you haven't gotten to 10 already, and see, like, what if these might actually be relevant for my audience? What might help my clients feel seen by my ability to speak into this truth that they might not even be aware that is also true for them until I have the courage to share it? And it can be related to your work, or it can be related to your life. I often, even though my work is around visibility and marketing, I often write about motherhood and my struggles with it. It's part of what I stand for, is changing the expectations of motherhood and what good mothers look like. And my people, even if they're not mothers, resonate with that. Some people don't. They're not my people. Is there one or two people that would be willing to share, not your 10 true things, but just what it felt like to explore this? Alta.
I'll go, because it was mind blowing. So I started writing all these angry things, all these angers that I have inside of me. But then I also remember that I need to be mindful of my words. And so then I said, okay, well, what can I talk about that isn't about anger, but it are things that are still true? And so then I shifted to desires and like things that I really want, that I want to experience, that I want other people to experience, that I don't dare open my mouth and say. That awareness that sometimes we can be stuck just looking at the bad things, but that I have a choice and I can still do the work through a different lens that is more elevating. It was really powerful for me. I could feel that shift inside of me. And I'm glad that I allowed myself to move through that and not feel like I needed to stay in one space.
Mm. Beautiful, Alta. The what pisses me off and what do I want? Those two prompts, like, those are some of the fastest way to get to your truth. And I'm a believer, like, your anger piece holds unique, powerful truth that might be calling in your people for you to reveal that, as just as much as what you want for them and what you desire for them.
I'll just add that the ones that I highlighted are in my anger. The ones that are, yeah, I'll just add that.
There you go. Thank you. AJ.
Yeah, I wanted to just the way that Alta brought that up, I really resonated. I was reading back mine. I was like, ooh, this like shame spiral that could start out with this cringy truth. And then like, am I to 10 yet? Am I, can I stop now? And I found like some really nice things that came out of relating to one of them that just shifted the direction. So it like bounced the spiral up the other way.
I love that. I love what happens when we give space for truth. It's like we feel some resistance, we go like a certain direction, and then we come back. And I love where you landed in the end in just a few minutes, right? In just a few minutes of giving yourself that space. It's amazing what can happen. Ray, and then we'll move on.
Well, the perfectionist in me is saying you didn't do that exercise right. But I'm gonna
get it wrong. You can't get it wrong.
I'll share what I got. There's a video of yours which I've watched so many times where you talk about saved wisdom and alive wisdom. And the core truth that is coming to me is that there's no let go of the saved wisdom and be willing to be in the discomfort in the moment of what if nothing comes? And it may not be good, it might suck, and that's okay, you know? And when it comes to posting things on, there may be times in my willingness to be visible that it doesn't go well, and to be okay with that too. Like, it's not always, it's not always going to be perfect. It's not always going to be easy. I may not always get the results that I want, but to find a place in myself that's willing to do it anyway and embrace and to normalize that it may not work out.
Oh, such wisdom right there, Ray. I feel like that's a post. Just go back and listen to the recording. That's a post. I want to highlight the willingness. The willingness to get it wrong, the willingness for it not to be liked, the willingness for it to quote unquote be not good enough. And what happens when we just start putting stuff out is we realize we can't always trust our brain. Some of the things that I'm like, oh, that's no big deal. Like, oh, that one went well. And some of the things that I'm like, wow, this is so amazing. This is going to ripple through the universe. And it was like, oh.
Exactly.
And how else will we know unless we have the willingness to try? So thank you for that. I was supposed to get through 4 prompts. Through the perfectionist, the mystic, and the badass. And I'm feeling a call to go right to my badass prompt. And I'm going to put the other ones in the chat for you to do as homework. Is that okay? Because I want to honor time. Because this prompt is inspired by Joanna. And my doing some shadow work with her, which was part of like it came at a time when the tectonic plates of my life were shifting. And it was in 2020, in the midst of the pandemic, or somewhere around then. And my marriage was in trouble. And as I was doing some of this shadow work, this invitation to look at my lost sexual self emerged. And I called her the sexy badass. And I started writing from her. And the words that came out were like, who is this? And at the time I was, I felt this strong pull towards somebody else in my life. And I realized, because this pulse felt so similar to some other dynamics that I'd had in my life, this attraction that I was having to someone that I was not married to, I realized, there's a quote by Esther Perel: when people look outside of their marriage, they're not looking for another relationship, they're looking for a lost part of themselves. And that person was mirroring back this lost sexual part of myself. And I've been on a journey the last few years of reclamation of that. And it has infused my work and business with so much power that I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And I highly recommend Joanna's shadow work if you haven't done it already. And I want to give you a micro experience of this, which is, you know, the judge shames us, shames parts of ourselves, shuts them down. And so the way that we end up seeing these lost parts is in other people, right? Like, I used to look at the women who are like all sexy on Instagram, be like, ew, go away. And that was just me. Like, so that part of myself either was lost through like strong attraction to other people, or through like being repelled by that quality in other people. This is big work. So what the badass does is take those parts that have been shamed in us, that we've been afraid to be, and instead of running from them, learns to lean in and lead from those places. So some of what we most judge in other people and ourselves are lost part of ourselves calling ourselves back. So the question that I have for you now is, what is a part of you that has been shamed that can now be harnessed as a superpower in service of your work? And I know that this requires a whole big deep container, but I invite you just to toe dip into this possibility that your spirituality, your sensitivity, your too muchness, your sensual sexual self might actually be a great ally in your work right now and in helping you speak from a truer place in you that is not edited by the good one perfectionist imposter. So I'm going to put this in the chat and I give you a few moments to write. I'm going to give you just 2 minutes. I am your, put the name in. I am your sensual self. I am your big-hearted, sensitive, sexual, spiritual. There's a lot of S's that tend to get suppressed. Find one that feels right for you, that feels ready to emerge. And listen to the voice of that part. If you give it some breathing space. In my experience, this part of you holds the key to your tiger self. And when, and it doesn't have to be, it can be, there can be many parts that you play with, but these parts of ourselves that we've shamed and have held back hold unique power and magnetism in our writing and will help you get out of the habit of being cookie cutter. Joanna, is it okay if I share a worksheet that with the other prompts along with this recording?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay.
So I'm gonna do that so as not to overwhelm you. Joanna taught me not to overstuff the curriculum and I still do it. I'm like, oh yes, we'll just get through this and this and this and this. I wanted to share that I have two containers that are going to be starting in the new year. I'll put them in the chat. One is called Visible, and it's about working with these four archetypes once a month over the course of the year. We have three trimesters to explore different dimensions of them. Each of them have unique challenges that I'll be offering, visibility challenges. This container is complete with accountability, coaching, and support. I won't go into all the details, but if you want to get visible in 2023, grow your audience and your income, and come out of hiding to your tiger self, this is the place that I can support you in doing that. I also have a program called Untether Your Voice that is specifically about excavating your story and using your story as a way of unveiling your soul's deepest work. Finding a unique message born out of your life experience, standing in the who you are now as a result of the beginning and middle of your life journey. And using your story is actually a blueprint for a journey you can take others on. So using your story as the inspiration for a deeply aligned offer that you put out into the world because it's rooted in who you are. Saves a lot of time and money when you root something in who you are. So I put them there. For both of them, I am happy to set up a call to see if it's a right fit, so that the application is just a call with me. And I wanted to close at 1:29 my time here in Oakland with just one little piece of the story that I told at the beginning about the Zoom call. Later that day, after I had been through my spiral, my shame spiral, and recovered, I was deep in a meditation. And in that meditation, I heard this voice. And it said, "There's nothing you could do that would make me not love you. There is nothing you could do that would make me not love you." And that, my friends, is what we're here to learn. At the core, yes, we want to grow businesses and audiences, but what the true work of visibility takes is learning to love all parts of ourselves into expression and holding ourselves with that unconditional self-love so we can keep doing it. So thank you all. Thank you, Joanna. This is such a gift and such an honor to be able to share this work that has been inspired by you. And I honor you forever as a mentor and a guide.
Well, I honor you. This has been such a gift for us. Kara, thank you so much for sharing, for, you know, like whatever version of nakedness you shared with us today. It was so inspiring. I learned so much. And just everyone, you know, I am like really snooty when it comes to saying, do this program or that program. My judge is very high on not only myself, but others. And if you are wanting to, like, if you know you have these blocks to your visibility and your writing, I cannot recommend Kara enough. I just can't, like, falling over myself to recommend it. So Kara, thank you so much for all you've shared with us. Thank you for sharing a worksheet with us that will be with the recording and just this beautiful experience.
So welcome. Such a joy. And yeah, so easy to be with you all because I've been in all the same containers and there's just like this energetic alignment that I feel. So thank you all.
All right, everybody, sending you so much love, especially as you go off to all of your holiday adventures, the good, the bad, and the ugly of all of it, thinking of you. You'll have this recording in your member center to come back to as well. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.